I'm no good with girls.
Oh, you're wit!
Frank?
Sometimes I wish you didn't beat that cancer. I really do.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Welcome to My Future Husband Facebook Podcast, episode 30. Yeah, to celebrate the 30th episode, because that is a landmark. I mean, like 3.5 years, almost 4 years. If I counted, if I go all the way back to when I first started doing these things, like by myself, like in 2011, that's like, we're going on almost 5 years. So this is legacy material. Legacy material. So we're going to have a special episode because, as everybody probably knows, David Bowie, well, he died. He died because apparently he hated everybody so much that he gave himself cancer and died. So there you go. I got a special guest. I got my brother Dan, who's actually, if you go way back into the annals of My Future Husband Facebook, did a few episodes with me, some good conversation we had about rock docs and stuff like that. So without further ado, here's Mr. Daniel. How's it going, Dan?
It's going pretty fantastic. I've been preached on radio or podcasting etiquette. Yeah. I think I should perform.
So how's it out in Dan's coming from Wyoming. We're doing our first over Skype thing. So we're going to see how it goes.
Yeah, it's Wyoming.
It's like living, well, it's like one of the topics we're going to talk about after David Bowie. We're going to talk about The Revenant. So it's like living in The Revenant.
Definitely the Midwest.
I was out there. I was out in Montana at one point. So
yeah,
Montana,
you know, the Midwest, open landscape, just very visceral and cold and a lot of bullshit.
It's like a beautiful painting that you don't want to be in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like you look at like all the old paintings from with Native Americans, and they're going across the open plains. And
yeah,
I mean, if you just take out all the horror and just leave nature there by itself, it's still horrific. So, yeah, I'm out here stationed in the military. It's pretty exciting. I actually...
Thank you for your service. I say to many service members that I've had as friends, I say, thank you for your service, and then I look at them dead in the eyes and say, no, not really.
Like, obviously,
it's not my fault. You didn't know what you wanted to do with your life, so you joined the military.
I didn't have to cope with it on the outside. I mean, it's obviously there are some things about being in the military that are good that are bad.
Of course, just like anything.
They have a positive effect on me and my outlook on life, but I've also had a lot of opportunities. But you know, I can't really talk about work, so let's not do that.
No, I don't want to talk. What do you think I want to talk about? What you do for a living?
I'm not gonna lie; it's pretty interesting. But side note, I you remember how I told you that class got canceled for Miami SWAT? I'm actually going again, so that's pretty cool.
There you go.
The hardest SWAT school in the country, probably right up there with LA SWAT and stuff like that. So I'm pretty excited. But let's get into this this thing about David Bowie. I mean,
yeah. So me and Dan are basically both. I wouldn't say we're not real musicians, but we've had aspirations to be musicians. We both write songs and music and play guitar. Dan's much better than me, at playing guitar.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that singing is a whole other story, but playing guitar and stuff like that, I'm okay. But I mean, I've always been in love with David Bowie, and I know a lot of people found out about David Bowie through Aladdin Sane and.
Yeah,
like he goes that. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I can't even name all his albums because there's what 20 or 25.
Oh, he's pretty prolific, especially that first like 20 years of his career.
Fame, that's a great album, you know, all that stuff. But you know, Let's Dance, all classic songs. But I really got into David Bowie from the BBC sessions 19, I believe it was 68 through 72.
The ones that I had.
Yes, yeah, the one. I'm just gonna let the folks that are listening. That I pretty much stole my musical taste from my older brother, which is Sean. So,
yeah.
I mean, I really did. I found some things on my own, but some of the biggest inspirations musically is definitely from people.
See, what happened was, is like I had a CD booklet
that was right in the bathroom, so every time I was taking a shit, yeah. I could... Yeah.
But I left it behind. Like, so when I moved, I left most of my music. And I had a lot of, like, albums. I had a lot of good stuff.
No, you had, like, some classic stuff, like Nutrimilk Hotel.
Yeah, I had everything from Rob Zombie to Nutrimilk Hotel. Like, so it was a pretty wide spectrum of stuff.
Yeah, most definitely. I think I remember the first time, because, you know, the Airplane Over the Sea is just that kind of tan with those pictures drawn. I can't really remember the picture. It's on that CD.
Yeah.
No knowledge of, never heard of Nutrimilk before, never even, you know, understood what kind of music it was, where they came from. I had no knowledge, no president, foot to stand on to understand what this music was going to be.
Yeah, and it's the best way to, like, listen to anything, really, right?
Like, it hit me like a freight train. Like, yeah. I had never heard, and then next thing I know, it became me, Justin, I'm talking about my friends that people don't know, but close friends of mine, we all sat down, and I remember listening to that album probably 10 times in a row that night, and that's not even, that was being completely sober as well, which is a rarity in my childhood, but it was good, you know, it was awesome. But, you know, David Bowie, definitely, I remember the first time I heard Amsterdam, which is obviously a Jack Bruhl's cover.
Mm-hmm.
To all those music snobs out there. But, you know, it really struck a chord, you know, with me. And so I learned that song, which, you know, I'm not a big fan of covers at all. But when I learned that song, it always made sense to me. It did just like, I mean, obviously I didn't grow up with a prostitute for a mother and dealing with like a drug addict mother or anything like that. But I don't know why, but just the way he sang it. And if you know, the listeners out there, the three of them, like me, Sean, and Sarah will probably be, but when you look back and the Jack Bruhl, I believe that's how you say his name. He's some French guy, but I mean, when he sings that song, it's in black and white. It's found on YouTube, and he's like almost in tears.
Well, that's the thing. I think about David Bowie, and I think especially like – and I think when a lot of people think of David Bowie, they think of that first 15 years. They think of like from what? Like the late 60s to the early 80s. Because there was a –
Fame came out in what? The late 80s, 90s?
What did?
Fame, well, he was older.
No, that's what I mean. Like he's a kind of a chameleon-like in the sense that he – I think he kind of established like this kind of folk – like going into rock and roll, like he kind of turned it into rock and roll.
He was
in a more traditional sense, and they're very much their own thing. But then you go to the 80s, he's doing 80s pop. Like then he started moving and like doing basically the best versions of popular genres of the time up until probably the 2000s. Like he hadn't.
No, really... let's be honest, Sean. I mean, you know, rest in space, David Bowie. But I mean, he did drop the ball.
I was just about to say, like, he hasn't done anything relevant in 20 years. He hasn't done anything really spectacular in, like, 20 years.
I mean, I listened to his new album.
I mean, there's bright spots. There were singles like I'm Afraid of Americans, like his kind of his collaboration stuff he's done. A lot of cool stuff in that realm. But he has not released, like, a good album up until... apparently Black Star, which I've only listened to Black Star and Lazarus. I think the songs are actually fantastic. I really love it.
It's haunting. It's weird. It kind of reminds me of like a Radiohead album.
That's kind of what I thought when I heard the song Black Star.
Yeah, like because it's that very like almost hip. It's like he's in a hypnosis. That's what
it's very hypnotic. And like it's one of the, I have not listened to the whole album because I have it. But I want to get it on vinyl and like get a good bottle of whiskey and like just like have a night and just like listen to it.
Of course. I mean,
I've been saving it. I've been saving that album. I was just like,
for this specific reason.
Just no. To get... Yeah. Well, I knew that he would give himself space cancer and kill himself.
Did you read what Beck said? Beck actually put out this. It wasn't art. It was a recording or whatever. Just his voice. It was like on the phone or something, or he was talking to an interview. He was doing an interview and he was like all in tears because he was like, you know, David Bowie is an inspiration for me and a lot of my fellow musicians that we all out. I mean,
oh,
David left behind so much.
His influence is undeniable. Like that, like especially that like mid to late 70s stuff, like I can't, that stuff, it runs through my head all the time. Like just in my regular life, I'm always, you know, I'll just stop and be like, Space Invaders, Mom and Pop, they're coming. Like, I'll do that just, like, all the time. Like, out of the blue. Like,
dude, you take a classic like Life on Mars, man. Like, Life on Mars.
Yeah, it's amazing. But you know the cool thing about that? It was like, it's like, like I was saying before, like, he does the best versions of existing genres. So you take, like, Life on Mars. That's, like, the greatest, one of the greatest, like, ballads ever written. Yeah. It's a fucking ballad, but it's not. It's done like classy. It's not like trashy ballad.
No, it's
like it's Monsters like of Rock ballad.
S80s, like, you know, like, you know, he's like, and you can feel he put his heart and soul, like, it was out there, you know.
Yeah,
he wore his heart and sleeve in that song, and like I can't remember. It was 2002, was his last performance live. If I want to say it is, because it was, he opened for Arcade Fire. Bro, he did an Arcade Fire.
That was way after 2002, Dan. That was like 2008, maybe.
No, man, I'm telling you, I can't find. I have looked. I have
Arcade Fire is not that old.
Maybe it was 2004, 2000. I can't remember, man. Actually, you know what? I'll take that back. It might have been 2006, but it was the Black Ball or the Black Ball or some weird name to it. I can't remember, but if you want to hear a really good rendition of Life on Mars, he does.
He does it. Yeah, he does it on there. I've heard the recordings. Yeah,
it's amazing. It's the only version I can do. I can sing because
because he's older and a little gravelier. Thing when David Bowie like would do, when he was older and he would do like live versions of his songs. There's like a disparity. There's a difference, and it makes it more special. Like it makes it more better. It makes the live experience essential, because I don't want to go to a concert and hear the fucking CD. I don't. Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree. But then again,
I want to hear the rough edges.
Okay, you
want
to hear the rough edges, but you don't also don't want to go to a concert and hear it to sound nothing like the CD.
No. That's not what I mean at all. It usually has to do with like,
You know, Discredit the Mars Volta, good band, but live they can shoot themselves in the foot a lot, like,
because there's too much busyness going on in that music.
You know, I mean, thank God they're not doing, you know, a Smashing Pumpkins, like, you know, David Bowie never went on stage and did one song for 38 minutes. I mean, maybe back in the 60s and 70s when he was high all the time and him and Mick Jagger are having sex, you know, but those were the good days, the glory days.
Those were back in the days when you were just like, hey, man, we're just we are celebrating each other's power.
Yeah, like, oh, God, you know, David Bowie, I think, is going to be... I mean, you even look at just what he did in films. I mean, Labyrinth, as cheesy as Labyrinth is, David Bowie is the best in that movie. He's the only thing that makes that movie worth watching.
Oh, for sure. It's the novelty of seeing David Bowie, like...
Jennifer Connelly, 14, you know, like... Fucking what? Like, that movie's just got... The Bog of Stench! Remember that shit?
Oh, yeah.
Bog of Stench and...
It came out like with the pop. And that like that height of the Jim Henson era.
Yeah.
And it's
it's
not great. Like Labyrinth's fine.
Jim Henson made Dark Crystal, probably one of the best puppeteer movies, you know.
Oh, I love Dark Crystal.
Of all time. I mean, I think it's great. I actually showed someone it not too long ago. It used to be on Netflix, so I was watching it. Shout out to Netflix, get us some people advertisements start to get us some money. Yeah. You know? Out quick, you know, while we can. If anyone wants to hear a great flautist sidebar, yeah, go listen to Herbie Mann, and the album's called Push Push. And I'm gonna tell you right now, you don't even really, you gotta listen to it, but you gotta listen to it the whole time while looking at the cover of the album.
Oh, is that the one you showed me? Yeah. Did you find that in a thrift store or something?
There's this called November Records. It's downtown here in good old Wyoming, probably the last record store in Wyoming, because there's probably one, and it's probably here.
Well, that's cool. It's cool that you live next to it.
I mean, I live right down the street, yeah, but it's like this. I got it for $2. I mean, what are you gonna, you know?
Oh yeah. $2? Oh, dude, like I bought.
I would pay $2. When people go look at this picture, if you do, you know, we'll call it finding the Herb. You know, finding the Herbie Man. And what I do is I have it nicely displayed in my room. Like, the, it's, like I have albums, is, you know, not that the audience would be able to see, but they're behind me. No, this this sucker is right here, man. Like, right above my mirror.
In the place of prominence, yeah. So when you, like, when you're flexing in the mirror, you, like, look at him, and then you look at yourself.
No, I've been eating nothing but pizza to try to look like this guy, you know? I mean, it's hard.
Not
it's
only do you have to eat pizza, but you have to rub the grease all over your body so you can shine.
Yeah.
Shine, little diamond.
A disturbing picture.
Disturbing or motivational?
You know what? And I don't think anyone has ever looked at – I really do think that could be the inspiration for Ron Burgundy. Like, you look at that guy and you're like, oh, I'll grab it real quick. Watch. Not that the audience can see, but – so Sean might be able to understand a little bit better.
No, you've shown me this several times.
Tell me that's not Ron Burgundy.
He looks like – what's his name? Oh, my God. I cannot believe it. George Carlin without a shirt on. And he's got a flout. He's got kind of a hairy chest. And he looks all – he's shiny. Like, he's a little moist.
Don't even look at the back picture.
Yeah, look at – oh, see, like, that gonna, shoulder hair? I love it.
He's that dude that's going to say there's going to be a rape.
Oh, my God.
Inside joke between Sean and I, but
– so what's the name of the album? So people at home can look up the picture. Or maybe I'll use it as the placeholder. I'll use it as the placeholder, but then, like
– people might
I feel like David Bowie should be the picture, but –
yeah, no. I mean,
maybe I'll put him in the corner, like a little miniature in the corner. Like
Herbie Mann versus David Bowie. You know, well, Herbie Mann is called Push. Push is the name of the album, which sounds even more disgusting. I'll even read off a couple of the titles of the songs because it sounds like, imagine someone that's a rapist that wrote an album. This is Push, obviously title.
Yeah.
Title track, What's Going On, and this one's really good. This one's pretty good. Spirit in the Dark. That's pretty malevolent. Man's Hope. Like this is like, it gets worse, and then like this is like, it's so creepy because it's one word and it's only two letters, and he just hits if, like if, you know, like Never Can Say Goodbye and What I'd Say. And when you think about those songs in terms of, like, as a free-thinking person, those are pretty disturbing. I'm not going to pull out the lyrics because they're even worse.
Well, you want to let the audience know. You got to leave a little mystery. Let them go on this hunt.
I pretty much just gave him the greatest gift that –
So it's Herbie Mann, Push.
Yeah, Herbie Mann, Push.
I'm sure David Bowie probably would have appreciated him. David Bowie is a man of eclectic taste. He appreciated all different kinds of music.
I don't know. I don't even know if David Bowie could have bowed his head to this one, man. I don't know. It's pretty – to tell you the truth, I've only listened to it two times because I get that creeped out. It's a rapey vibe that it gives off, so. Like, you literally feel like there's going to be a man staring through your window just like, I heard it. I heard her.
You gave me the call, brother.
Is that Push?
Oh my God, that would be amazing if somebody like just came in and knocked on your window, and be like, "Hey, is that Push?"
Yeah.
Oh shit! You listen to Herbie Mann. I love Herbie.
Yes. Like just a
come
bunch
on,
of.
Let me get inside you. No, I mean, let me come inside. Can we listen to it together inside of you? What?
A lot of people don't know this, but they actually play Herbie right outside of homeless shelters to get the homeless to come in. They do that.
What are you insinuating, Dan?
I'm not saying every homeless guy's a rapist, but if anyone's going to be a rapist, it's probably going to be...
Well, you got to stay warm.
Yeah, I mean...
Body heat.
It's friction. Body. It's friction. Yeah, friction.
Yeah. Well, we've really gone off the rails here.
Yeah, bro. Let's get a little bit
back. David Bowie gave himself space cancer and died. That's what happens when you go too close to the sun, okay? You gotta get cancer.
His wings being burned. I think he actually was probably from all that flight time in space without a spacesuit. I've never seen David Bowie wear a spacesuit. Have you?
Well, I've never seen him wear a helmet. I've seen things that look like spacesuits, futuristic spacesuits.
He went up into space in a tin can. That's probably not the safest.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
No,
that's just science.
But because David Bowie has a 2-year-old child. Or two
David
or three.
Got a lot. His son Duncan Jones.
Yeah.
The director directed Moon. Source Code, and now he's got coming out the Warcraft movie.
Oh, he's making that.
Yeah. Which doesn't look that great, but looks just boring. But
I mean, it's a movie about Warcraft. The game's boring to me. I mean, anyway, I can't be too interested by the game.
Who the fuck?
I just could never get into it. And,
no, I never got into the story of Warcraft. It's like this dumb placeholder really... story. They're not meant to be turned into movies with like deep lore. Like no, like let them
Is there like a folklore to it or a story? Like an
is
actual
there lore to it? Yeah, there's like a universe and characters and all this. Anyways, back on track. What is your favorite David Bowie album? Like if you off the top of your head, what's the first thing you think of when you think of David Bowie?
I'm gonna have to go with the classic. Like, I mean, I don't think it's really any album. It's those live BBC sessions that really. That's what got me hooked because, I mean, it's got like Width of a Circle, Amsterdam. I think there's over 40 songs on that special edition.
Oh yeah, it's a double disc.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's just so many. Those really a few songs that really stuck with me. I mean, Changes. You know, like there's just so many things that
it's essentially it's like almost like a greatest hits album up to a certain point, you know.
I mean, it's only from 68 to 72, so that's really his early.
Well, when you see like how prolific he was even up to that point, like that guy is like imagine if Mark Bolan was better and never died, like.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because Mark Bolan like had kind of a limited skill set. Like I love T Rex, Mark Bolan and T Rex. I really do. That like cool. Like I think he is.
Yeah.
Definitely somebody that was probably heavily influenced by the same things or by David Bowie himself. There's a lot of crossover there, but it kind of stops. Like he just kind of kept doing the same thing where David Bowie was able to move on and stuff. But like, I mean, like David Bowie's like output just in the first like 4 or 5 years of his like. Music career is insane, and like the songs that he wrote during that time are amazing. Like there's the ones that you really think of, you really remember, and then he spent like the next few years like honing that stuff and putting them on albums. Like
I mean, he did some his live shows. They've even said that his younger days were some of the best live performances ever given. I mean, he's also like a very forward thinking individual. I mean, I believe obviously, he was willing to be, you know, to him and Mick Jagger had that experiment. No, he was experimental guy. They were who found him? It was Mick Jagger's wife, right? Sharon Tate, or what was her name?
Nah, Sharon Tate. Sharon Tate was
the
woman who got murdered by the Manson family.
Yeah, okay. What's her name? I can't remember because she's the guy that Mick Jagger stole her from George Harrison. And then George Harrison.
They had an arrangement. They had an arrangement. Mick Jagger. Yeah, that's Eric Clapton and George Harrison. They're the ones that were. George Harrison stole Eric Clapton's wife or whatever.
Or I thought it was the other way around.
Or maybe it was the other way around.
Mick
Jagger is. I think it was. I don't know if it was his wife. I think it was just his girlfriend. But they had some sort of formal agreement. I think they even had like a contract that Mick Jagger would not like fuck around.
Oh wow!
And then they got caught together. I think though it was by David Bowie's like whoever David Bowie was with, and
it was Mick Jagger's wife. I know it was Mick Jagger's wife. I'm like 90% sure it was Mick Jagger's wife because I just read about it. The 69 things interesting with David Bowie because he died.
Well, I'll tell you what, like I don't have time to go to a library to research this. Like I don't know how you would research something like that.
a little bit that I've read about it, but. And I guess she came into the bedroom and they were like, you know, naked, but she didn't see like penetration.
No, they were just like laying in the bed naked together.
Yeah.
That's like, and then, you know, so whether or not they were actually fooling around or not, nobody really knows. I'm sure
they never denied it either.
They didn't. Because why would you? That's like the mystique, the legend. Like, he's like this androgynous creature person. Like,
he's tried bisexual things, it's never with. David Bowie. He's never specifically said David Bowie.
Well, but we all know that's who he's talking about.
I mean, David Bowie was a weird. He was stranger. He was. And I'm not calling like gay people weird or anything, but he was a strange person.
I think he just like kind of acted out in a way that
he's rebellious towards his British upbringing of
Well, yeah, and kind of acted out against formalized sexuality in the sense of like gay or straight. He just kind of the progenitor of almost like gender fluidity, in terms of like just people just being like, I'm just like a person.
I'm just a creature.
I'm just looking to feel good, brother.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but like I actually watched this awesome interview with David Bowie, who shows what kind of forward thinking he was. This is the early 90s with MTV.
No, that was the 80s.
Was it the 80s?
Yeah, it was like 1983 when he's like, why did you put black people's music on MTV?
Yeah, well, he asked, he's like, you know, why aren't there more black people on MTV and stuff?
Yeah,
he's
because
like,
there's such...
because it's on our times at night and stuff. And,
yeah.
I mean, just like even asking that question in period.
It's a good responsible use of like your position, right? He's like, and I don't think he even really thought about it in terms of race or being racist. I think he was just, it came more from a place of like, this is like the good music. It's like, he literally would think about black music as a genre.
No, yeah, because like the Isley Brothers, great, you know.
I mean, like the amount of black artists in the 50s, 60s, and 70s is like staggering. Like in terms of memorable music, like it's all black people, you know.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like, you know, without black people, we wouldn't have a lot of the modern music we have today. I mean, like people talk crap about the Isley Brothers because they're all like soul smooth, you know.
Yeah,
like,
but they're great. Their melodies are amazing.
But they're fun. They're like really fun musicians. Like they're actually talent. They're very talented. Like even like people all give credit to Bob Marley for Bob Marley and the Wailers. But it's the Wailers were fantastic musicians. Bob Marley was like an okay guitarist.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like,
okay,
fantastic. But you know, and we've talked about this before. Like the world is full of amazing musicians, and if you don't have that person that like pushes it forward is usually that's why there's one person in a group who usually stands out.
Yeah, but David Bowie was even known to record all of his own stuff in the recording.
No, David Bowie's a savant, man. Like yeah. That's not normal.
Like Beck or Prince, you know,
or Trent Reznor
from Nine Inch Nails. I mean, yeah. These guys are masters of the craft for sure.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Good. Yeah.
I mean, but you can even get into a really cool thing about David Bowie is. He was multi-talented, obviously, in the musical realm, but even acting. I mean, we can talk about Labyrinth, sure, but look in the Prestige, small, simple role.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, I mean, I think he made a go at acting in, like, kind of the art scene in the 70s, because the Man Who Came, or the Man Who Fell to Earth, is that what it's called? Have you ever seen that movie?
The Day the Earth Stood Still?
What? No, the Man Who Fell to Earth. I think that's what it's called. My brain's having a brain fart. But anyways, I'll look it up real quick. But yeah, that was like a science fiction movie from the 70s. And it's kind of like an artsy-fartsy science fiction movie.
So Jaws? Like
yeah,
Jaws?
It's exactly like Jaws, actually. Some people say it's a spiritual sequel.
I'm sorry, but that movie is one of the only movies that really hold up over time. That movie is fantastic.
One of the only movies that holds up over time?
It's hard. Alright, people are fucking bullshit liars if they say they can go watch any movie from the 70s and enjoy it just as much. It had, like, Stanley Kubrick, timeless, obviously. You can watch, like, Dr. Strangelove and, like, laugh and still enjoy it. But, yeah. You know, there is not as many. Like, you can go back and watch movies from the 90s and be like, I really liked this a lot when I was a kid. Obviously, that's mental maturity. Like, I grew up and I'm like, oh, wow. You know, I used to think, you know, what movie did I think? I'm trying to think. Like, what movie did I think was fantastic growing up that I watched? And I was like, I don't even know. I can't even think. Maybe, like, okay, I'm probably going to piss a lot of people off with, like, Demolition Man. Like, you go back and watch it and you're like, I didn't think it was, like, a fun, cheesy movie. I thought Stallone should have won an Academy Award. Like I thought.
It's a relative thing. Like when you're a certain age, you experience things in a different way. You kind of experience it in a vacuum. You're not thinking about like how other people think about it. See, when you just enjoy it, or you're not thinking critically about it. So when you just enjoy something, you're just like, oh, I really like that. That was awesome. You know what I used to love? One of my favorite movies was Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Well, wait. You're talking about the Kevin Costner one?
Yeah.
You're a retard. You're dumb.
Okay. You're dumb as shit. No, so the David Bowie movie is called The Man Who Fell to Earth. He did a lot of little bit parts too. Like he was in Zoolander as himself.
Like yeah.
The Prestige. He was on Extras, that Ricky Gervais show, as himself.
That one was pretty good. No, but still, Patrick Stewart and Kate Winslet take the cake on that show for me. But...
The Hunger. That's right. I forgot he was in this movie called The Hunger, which is actually kind of a good movie.
Is that the one with Michael Fassbender?
No, The Hunger? No, this is an old movie. It's from 1983, directed by Tony Scott. It's a vampire movie. And it's really weird.
What's the one with Michael Fassbender? It's called Hunger, isn't it?
Yeah, Hunger. That's about the Irish hunger strikes.
Which is the best part of it. I don't know if many people have seen it, but there's this one scene where he's talking to a priest, which is fantastic. But that's the only scene in the movie I really think is like holds remembrance for me. Like, the movie's okay. But, yeah, but, you know, Prestige, I mean, obviously a small role, but I really liked him in that. And I'm not going to lie, I haven't seen David Bowie in too many movies.
No, because that was not his main focus. He would show up and do bit parts, but he, in terms of movies like he starred in, like he actually did kind of make a go at it in the 80s.
Did you ever read, David Bowie told the story how he got his eyes messed up? Did they ever tell you that? How his eyes are the way they are?
No, why?
Interesting story. So I can't remember who it was, but it was a very famous person. And they were kids together. They were growing up in the same area. And I believe the guy is famous now. I mean, that's besides the point. So David Bowie sees this girl he really likes. He thinks she's beautiful or whatever. And this guy already asked her out, you know, or something relative to these terms that involves a woman. And David Bowie, like, lied to the guy and said that she didn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah.
So he could go out with her. So he waited.
The guy find out about it and beat him up?
Oh, beat the living shit out of him.
Yeah.
That's exactly how why his eyes are the way they are. I mean, it's just a testament to kind of what he's a lover, you know, and he's not a fighter. he definitely got hurt in that fight. I want to say it was someone from The Clash or something, like someone really famous. Like,
I don't know. No, it wasn't somebody from The Clash. They're too young.
Whatever. Somebody, though. You know what I mean? It was someone in that
it was Benjamin Franklin.
Wow. That'd be impressive.
Yeah. Time Lincoln.
But that's how he got his eyes, you know, all why one pupils more dilated. It was a permanent damage from the fight.
Okay.
From that he received. Definitely from there was a girl involved, and I think he was kind of being the scumbag in that scenario, if I remember correctly. But it's definitely it was just an interesting thing I learned about David Bowie recently. But David Bowie's he's a pioneer. He's a space pirate, you know, the original, not Matt Damon. Screw Matt Damon.
The original Martian.
Yeah.
David Bowie.
I mean, he got compared to Bob Dylan a lot in his early career.
Which is, I understand. And that's what I meant about, like, he was a big part of the evolutionary process of, like, music in that time period. And he's always, and like I said, he's always changed. He's very chameleon in music. I mean, like, this is the 80s pop area. Then in the 90s, he kind of got into world music stuff.
Yeah.
And he kind of got into, like, weird, like, electronic pop crap in, like, the 2000s. And then I think with Black Star, it felt like a really, at least the two songs I've heard off the album, felt like a real culmination of, like, his... And I don't say this to be precious, and, like, I'm not trying to put into it just because he passed away by giving himself space cancer. I just think it's, like, a culmination of... It felt like a culmination of, like, his entire, like, history of music. Like, in the styles, you know?
I've only listened to, I think, believe, three songs off of there. So, I don't even know how... I think there's only seven songs on the album, isn't that
true? Yeah, it's a short album, yeah.
Very small album. But, like, it's something that has been kind of pissing me off as of late. Like, I get on, you know, I have a PlayStation. I get on PlayStation Network, and I see the David Bowie collection or whatever. Like, there are people just trying to make money off this guy's death. And I'm like, this is so shitty.
Oh, like, you mean, people selling, like, the greatest hits albums.
It's all the movies you can buy. You can buy all the movies
you've
ever been in. And I was like, okay, like, I get it. Like, people
Yeah, but that's also people, there's a demand for it, too. Like I was reading some stuff, like some like mom and pop record stores, like people go there and like they're all sold out of David Bowie shit right now. If the day he died, people just went and like bought all this stuff. Like that's a pretty normal thing when like a celebrity dies. Like people, even when Paul Walker died, like it's just like, man, I better go get hurry up and get my copy of Running Scared before.
You know, discredit to Paul Walker as a human being, good guy, probably really
Oh,
good
he's a
person.
terrible, terrible actor.
I mean, just yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, people were literally like fucking devastated, and I was like, okay,
I think people are devastated because of how young he was, and because he seemed like a very positive, optimistic, good
No,
person.
he was a good person. Like he was very into charity. He worked a lot with like charities and stuff. Like from what I've read, obviously they talk about a lot of the good things about these people. I mean, he was a good guy.
Then he swerved off the road and set the car on fire. Like,
Yeah.
I don't know why these people, killing themselves. I have no idea.
I don't know. Martin Lawrence running down the street jerking off in people's cars. We'll never know why he did it, but
No.
he did.
He was
So.
trying to commit suicide. Cop, like suicide by cop.
Oh, that's such a strange world we live in. Like I had a friend ask me, obviously I'm in the military, so everyone's all love military movies. And I don't think I'm that brainwashed yet. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love a good military story. We were soldiers, Saving Private Ryan, good
Don't get
stuff
me
like that.
wrong, American Sniper was robbed at the academy when I was kidding.
American Sniper. I mean, I'm not gonna say Chris Kyle's not an American hero. I mean, he saved a lot of people doing what he had to do.
No,
I mean,
I think it just like,
war is hell, and he did what he best he could with what he had, and he did it.
The thing is, you can both be an American hero and also a piece of shit at the same time. Like,
Yeah,
they're
I
not
know.
mutually exclusive things.
I'm
But
not saying.
beyond that, like, that's just not a good movie. I don't know why we're talking about this, but like.
I don't think it's a no. I mean, let's just get on this real quick. We're leading into movies anyway. This is something we were planning on talking about the Golden Globes, but
Well, that
if
was
you look
a, well.
at
Then no, I guess like it is a good lead into the Golden Globes, American Sniper, because that is a movie that is like it is so like how political those institutions and those award ceremonies are. Because American Sniper is not like a good movie. Like it's just not a good movie.
I'm not going to say it's a bad movie. I don't think it's a bad movie. I don't think it's.
I
I
do.
think they tried to make it a good movie, and it was Bradley Cooper bad acting it? No, it
Yeah,
was good.
he wasn't great. Like he was fine.
I mean, what I think the real bad acting came from, like the younger scenes, like when they're talking with the father at the table and talking
Yeah.
about he's raising to be sheep dogs, not wolves, or sheep that eat grass, whatever the fuck he was saying,
No, that's what I'm saying. Like that, but that whole movie is like literally, it's kind of not even like the story that happened. I mean, they literally
No,
contrive. Daniel,
that's the
they
thing.
contrive a story that he has like a nemesis in the Middle East. A nemesis sniper
there was
that he has
a.
showdowns with every tour he goes to,
I know.
and you're like, is this a comic book movie? Like, what the
No,
fuck?
I think, but that's Hollywood. Just the same thing with Lone Survivor. Like Marcus Luttrell actually crawled for 3 days. Like he actually like was.
Yeah,
It
but
was a
Lone
lot.
Survivor at the very
I mean.
least shows like soldiers being moral human beings and like paying a price for their morality. Like,
Right now, Sean, those guys, I mean, I'm not saying anything to these, but they're not trained to have necessarily, like, they had to make decisions, they gotta make them fast, and they gotta do these things. So like
yeah, of course.
obviously they had the time to react and to do those things, but like these guys are just professionals at the utmost, and that's what things they don't show in these movies. Like these guys are they're tough bastards, but these guys are professionals. These guys are the highest caliber people you can expect to meet in the
I know that.
military.
No, because when you start getting into that stuff, you distance an audience from them, so they have to just kind of focus on their family life and show them as human beings, and they have key
They
people to
have
care
to.
about, and that they have girlfriends, and like they
Yeah.
have to because that's what people want to see when they hear stories.
No,
Like,
and that's
no,
why I don't I
I
would.
think I don't like ethically, I don't think there's anything really wrong with like Lone Survivor.
No, it's
Like,
fine. But even if you've watched,
but
what's
American Sniper, there's a dishonesty like just at the heart of that story that's not even fucking accurate to his own story, like the book that he wrote.
Are you talking about Chris
Like,
Kyle?
yeah.
American Sniper? Yes, I actually read American Sniper. I
And
didn't read it.
don't make movies about things that happened a year before you fucking make a movie. Like,
Yeah, I
there's
mean,
no
it was a
perspective.
money grab.
There's no
That's
like, what else
so
do you
money grabs. That's all it was. Money grab.
No,
That's all it was.
it's just bad propaganda. It's like, or like Zero Dark 30. Like, that whole
Well,
movie is bullshit. And it was sold to people as like the reality of that situation.
It's the same thing right now, and this is what I was going to get to with Benghazi, or 13 Hours, the new Benghazi movie that they're making.
Oh, yeah, the new Michael Bay movie, yeah. It actually comes out this weekend, I think.
It does. And I told, because we were talking, oh, man, I'm so excited, you know. I mean, cool, you know, me and my unit, they like spec off movies. Who doesn't like watching?
Yeah, dude, fucking Jim Halpert's in that shit, yo.
No, he's fucking, I mean, they're fucking shit up, and that's, you know, Jim Halpert, yeah.
I can't wait for him to look at the camera and, like, give a Jim Halpert look, like, shrug his shoulders.
You know,
like, do you want to go on this mission? You don't have to. And he just looks at the camera and he's like...
You know, it'd be really funny at the end of the movie. It just ends up a whole ploy to get back at Dwight for some reason. That'd be pretty hilarious. Just to mess with Dwight.
That'd be amazing if Rainn Wilson somehow showed up in that movie. Yeah, it'd be great.
Yeah, you know, but it's... But it's disgusting because, you know, I believe 26 Americans lost their lives, I believe.
Well, not only that, but there's not even clarity about what happened in that situation.
There's clarity. There's just not to the media, because the media wants to convolute, because something dilute what actually happened, because they don't want people to know what really happened, that they hesitate, just like what happened.
I know that, but do you think the movie is going to more fairly represent that story than anything you've heard? No.
I don't. No. I think Michael Bay's a piece of shit, and he's going to just try to make a blow-up action movie. Whatever. You know?
See, that's the thing. I think Michael Bay really thinks he's making, like, this amazing American piece of cinema that is like
Transformers 4. Yeah.
But like, why you're taking one of the most controversial events in the past like 5 years and you're making a movie about it? Like,
past decade, Sean. The past decade.
It's crazy. Like, to me, it's insane that they're making that movie. But like, just like I thought it was insane that they made Zero Dark 30. Like,
I mean, it doesn't even need to, the real thing is this
movie was in production like before they actually caught Osama bin Laden. Or they killed Osama bin Laden as a movie about trying to find him, and then so that they were filming that movie literally like months after
Sean,
it actually happened.
I mean, I think, you know, not conspiracy aside, but you know, it's not. I think that just might have been luck of the draw. But when
I don't think there's anything like conspiratorial going on. I'm just saying, I think it isn't. It's irresponsible to tell those.
It's happened in movies before.
Like, I know, but you should not like. We should not like be celebrating what amounts to like immature propaganda.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't celebrate that kind of movie. Those kind of movies, like because they don't serve actually like letting people know what happened. Telling an honest story.
No, it most definitely. I mean, I remember when Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore made a movie.
It's called Fever Pitch.
Fever Pitch. They were not. That was the. It just happened to be the year the Red Sox go. Some things just happen. Obviously, that's a joke.
Sometimes there's just magic.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
but
seriously.
I'll tell you what, as a person from Massachusetts, I thought a lot of that movie was bullshit.
Yeah, but then again, I like it because they end up winning in the end.
I've never seen it, so
I'm not going to lie. I you know, I have my movies where I go watch, like, those, I guess you could say, every freaking single person on this planet sometimes will watch a dumb movie on purpose just to do it. And that's one of my go-to dumb movies. But
I'm like, I'm getting revved up to watch Sisters.
Oh God! See, I don't even want to see that. But I haven't fell that far down. But
a little bit of respect for myself. God damn it!
Yes.
At least if I watch Fever Pitch, I can be like, well, it's a Farley Brothers movie.
It's true. I don't know, man. But like, you know, it hurts being in the military and seeing people use these military guys' deaths as a. I think the guy who made Lone Survivor had actually a good. He wanted to do justice. He had Marcus Luttrell involved a lot with the story.
Peter Berg.
Yeah.
But I think Lone Survivor, like, but it also shows that, like, okay, there are people that are there being oppressed too, and, like, they helped him out.
Yeah.
Like, they showed that, like, this village came together and fucking saved that guy's life.
And it
like,
wasn't. It was out of. It was actually out of their belief system for hundreds of years. That same village believed in taking an individual that was being oppressed or being like. It was actually like an old law that they followed.
A good Samaritan law, basically.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, like, so, like, things like that. There's a lot of positive things, even if that movie is not like blow by blow accurate. Like, the broad strokes of that story are true.
Yeah,
and it's like sends a good positive message, like, all around. Like,
that's
a good positive representation of the military. It was a positive representation of like the conflict there and the subtleties that are going on, and like how every like how much like just bullshit is going on and people getting caught in the crossfire. Like, it really showed that it's not like some like one-sided like weird hit piece. I mean, like, honestly, I don't really know too much about the new 13 Hours, the Benghazi movie. Like, I don't know much about it.
And that's something, you know, I think a lack on my part, but it makes me, I just am so sick of seeing these movies where it's lies, or like they depict these guys the wrong way, and, you know.
Well, the grossest thing about some of the stuff, like, I mean, like, especially the American Sniper thing left a really bad taste in my mouth. Like, I only actually just watched that movie like maybe 6 months ago, and I was thinking about writing something about just modern propaganda movies.
I mean,
so I watched it for that, but
I don't think it's as bad. Which the movie itself is like Active
Valor. I'm not. Active Valor is a bad movie,
but it's not a great movie. I think it's cool that they use real Navy SEALs. That's cool. That was a cool idea. I liked it. I thought it was a good idea. I mean, like, did these guys actually do the job? And they're
no, but okay. That's not what I'm talking about. Like, quality of the movies aside, messages of the movies aside, like, I'm trying to get at like what you're saying is that like you don't like it. People are basically grandstanding and using these stories as political platforms to sell you whatever kind of bullshit. And that's like American Sniper was the most egregious, and actually Acts of Valor too. Like, Fox News just blasted that fucking movie. If you didn't like that movie, and we're talking about this movie hadn't even come out yet, but if you don't like that movie, you're fucking un-American. Like, it was like weird. It was bizarre. Active Valor, they kind of a little bit got into that, like getting. That's why Active Valor was such a big hit. That's why American Sniper was such a big hit. You had like the like right wing crazy media like out there just shilling the fuck out of it. I mean, how many times did they trot out like Chris Kyle's wife? How many times was she on like talk shows?
She just won a sniper competition and beat one of the best snipers in the world.
Because she fucking put Chris Kyle's dick inside of her.
Yeah.
And now she has the magic sniper powers.
No, that's, well, she was using this new system.
I also heard that she beat Ronda Rousey in a private alleyway match not more than 3 days ago.
I've heard. Yeah, but she used this new weapon system called Tracking Point. It's pretty cool. It basically aims the gun for you, so you can literally just fucking as jerk that trigger as hard as you want, and you're still going to hit your target, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, like, how do you feel? Like, do you separate the fact that you're in the military from these movies when you watch them? Or, because I imagine, like, because your context for them is a little different than mine.
It's definitely hard when you're in the military to watch something and be like, oh god, that guy didn't clear his corner right, that guy's retarded, or
no, I'm not talking about like accuracy. I'm like, emotionally, when you watch it, does it make you like,
yeah, no,
well,
dude.
Like, well, with pride inside and be like, yeah, I'm part of this, like, good thing and blah, blah, blah.
It's really hard, man. Like, I mean, there's nothing more prideful than seeing these young men and women sacrificing their lives or doing these, like, things that you've signed up for as well. But they've done some incredible things. And that's the cool thing about Navy SEALs. I don't think civilians even understand, or these guys that, like, they didn't just become a Navy SEAL. Like, they didn't.
No,
just didn't one day wake up and like, I'm a SEAL. No, these guys went through the most hard, arduous, just insane training that most 90% of people would quit and wouldn't even dream of like attempting. And then the 90% of that 10% don't even make it through. Like, and that's the truth. I mean, that's insane. And that's really the beauty of those guys. And those guys are animals. They're beyond what people can normally do. I mean,
and that's their function, is that they're supposed to be kind of like supermen, ubermenches.
They're in the military and they get to grow their fucking beards like you. They can have your beard right now walking around because that's just what they can do. Because
it's the privilege, yo. That's what you get.
You know, like, if I ever went Spec Ops and they asked me, why are you here? I'm like, just to get my beard, sir. And that's
so I can grow a beard and be in the military.
That's it, you know. To tell you the truth, if I could grow my beard, I'd probably stay in for the rest of my life. But, you know,
that's kind of a deal breaker.
You know,
well, when you get out and you grow your beard back, I'm going to shave mine because then we already look alike too much.
Like, yeah, it'd be weird.
Although I'm fatter, though, I'll just start telling people that I'm you, though.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, man, what the fuck happened to Dan? Like, he used to be really fit and in shape. Like, what the fuck happened to him? He looks like a piece of shit.
I got two favorite pizza plates I can't stop ordering from, you know. It's been
I'll just hang out in front of gas stations and smoke cigarettes. Be like, hey, how's it going? I just got back. I just got out of the military. I just separated.
Wasn't it like 5 days ago? Yeah, it's been a rough 5 days.
Hey, man, can you rent me something from this red box? I don't got cable, man. I can't afford it. I'll bring it back tomorrow.
You know what? I really don't doubt that scenario. Probably but, you know, I don't know. When you're watching a movie, and especially about the military, it's hard to not be a little biased. I'm not going to lie. You do kind of want it to be good just by watching it. You just like, oh, man, I really hope they – like, because, you know, every single time, you know, I'm in the Air Force and being a cop and stuff, and you're just like – you watch us and, like, security forces in movies, and you're like, oh, my God, they just make you look so bad. They make you look so dumb. Granted, 99% of cops are not the smartest people, but they – you know, geez, man. God, it's just sad. It's sad to watch.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of people don't know this, but security forces are in Iron Man, the first Iron Man. That's who he's talking to in the truck.
Oh, right? Yeah, he's in the truck, yeah.
They're retards, and they get out on the hot side. Mm-hmm. Like, contact left, and they get out the left side. That's retard. You never do that. But
he panicked.
Yeah, he definitely panicked. But, you know, I don't know, man. It's definitely hard to sit there and watch some of these movies when you get these people's lives are being, you know. It's not like an Audie Murphy situation who won the Medal of Honor, one of the most highly decorated people in the military of all time, and then made his own movie about his event.
No, like, that was some hardcore propaganda. Like,
yeah, that's pretty hardcore. But guess what?
But he did it.
At least it was him. At least he was in it.
Like, well, that's what they're riffing on in Inglourious Bastards. Yeah,
exactly. Which I know. Yeah. Birth of a Nation, right? I think that's what it was called.
I think so. No, what was it called? No, Pride of the Nation.
God, you don't remember? No, because that's another alluding to the fact, Birth of a Nation.
Birth of a Nation is the movie about the KKK saving everybody.
Yeah.
And Pride of the Nation is the movie, the fake movie in Inglourious Bastards. So, okay, well, now that we're kind of talking about movies and stuff and we're talking about award ceremonies, did you watch the Golden Globes or did you just see the...
I wasn't able to, but I did keep up with on like IMDb who was winning awards, and I went on YouTube, watched some of the acceptance speeches, obviously like DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence and some of those other Alejandro, whatever that guy's name is for the Revenant.
Eduardo Alejandro Birdman.
Whatever the fuck his name is, Jesus.
He directed Birdman.
Watched a lot of interviews about the Revenant with like DiCaprio and Tom Hardy and...
Let me sum up every interview about the Revenant. It was really hard.
Yeah,
it was really cold.
Yeah, it seemed like a pretty horrific.
That's like the narrative they're building around to get Leo his Academy Award is like, dude, it was hard. Like we were out there in the cold.
I mean,
we could only film for 90 minutes a day.
He got raped by a bear.
He got raped by a bear. So well. I thought the Golden Globes were kind of me and Sarah did like a we looked at all the categories before we watched it because we ended up watching it and making like we picked our winners. I kicked her ass. I mean, what did I have? How many did I get right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So I got about half right in the categories.
That's not bad. 50,
I hadn't seen a lot of the TV shows and stuff, so I didn't know. And I kind of just follow movies more. And the way I did it, even for the stuff I hadn't seen, was just like politics. I just looked at like I pay attention to movies. I read movie blogs and stuff like that. I see what mainstream critics are into, and I just pay attention to the narratives around it. I was a little surprised a few times though. I was surprised Jennifer Lawrence won because I actually saw Joy, and that's a terrible movie.
It really wasn't good, huh?
And she's not very good in it. Like, so I was actually confused that she won. I was like, really? Like, that's crazy. And the fact that she's already won, like, two other times, it was like...
This is her third or... This might be her third or fourth time. I don't know.
It's her third time. Each one has been with David O. Russell.
This is a question I've actually had about the Golden Globes. I can never remember. Maybe we've talked about it before, but... Is this, like, what the hell does this mean?
It's the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. So it's like these four. It's basically a group of old curmudgeon-y critics that like just pick the made these categories and dole out awards for both movies and television.
Now, how many has DiCaprio won before?
I think this is his third.
His
second or third. And he's never won an Academy Award. He gets nominated pretty much every movie because they just push him to get nominated, like whether he deserves it or not.
I mean, I don't really. I think The Revenant, he's got a good chance.
I think just because of momentum, maybe. But like, this has happened to him a few times. Like, if I were to say like what Leonardo DiCaprio should have actually won for, I probably would say The Aviator.
Yeah.
If there was a year he was gonna win, it probably should have been for The Aviator. Yeah. Like that is what, I love that movie. I know people think it's like kind of like so-so. So-so Martin Scorsese movie, but I love that movie.
That's one of my favorite Martin Scorsese movies.
Especially of the past like decade or 15 years.
I mean, Departed, another great Leo performance. I mean, I like him.
I think he's okay in that. Like, he's fine. Like, the thing about Leonardo DiCaprio is, like, you're never not aware that you're watching Leonardo DiCaprio. Like, like Leonardo DiCaprio. That's like, what makes it work.
That doesn't matter. I don't think that matters for how good he is in the movie.
Well, I think it says something like, you're not, like, getting lost in his performance. You're always very aware, like, look at Leo now.
Yeah, like, all right, who's someone you get lost in, though?
Daniel Day-Lewis, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Because we've had that, what performance by Daniel Day? Because I always argue with, you know, There Will Be Blood, because that's my favorite Daniel Day-Lewis film. But, like, you watch In the Name of My Father, it's Daniel Day-Lewis. You know it's
him. But he's just giving, like, in a lot of those other movies, he's just giving a solid performance. If you watch, like, The Boxer, or if you watch, like you said, In the Name of the Father, or, what the hell's... He made some weird indie movie. I can't remember what the hell it's called.
Like Last of the Mohicans? Like, sorry,
Last
dude.
Last of the Mohicans? No, I think he's fine in those, like, but he's just giving a solid performance. Like, but, like, I kind of feel the same way about Daniel Day-Lewis in the sense, like, I'm always kind of aware that he's, like,
doing something. Well, my experience with him was There Will Be Blood.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Kings in... What is that one? New York? Oh, my God. Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York.
Like I didn't remember him though. But when I saw There Will Be Blood,
that's one of the all timers, man.
Like holy,
it's like that's an all timer performance. Like
yeah,
it
like he
does not get much better than that.
Word. But then I watched Lincoln.
And you kind of shrug your shoulders and you're like, this is all right.
He did. He acted well. He did a good performance, but.
I would just wish Lincoln was a more interesting movie. Like,
it was really boring and just not entertaining. Just not.
Which is, I don't have like a problem with like kind of slower paced like historical dramas or whatever. But I just thought it was such a weird like.
I love them. I can sit there and watch historical dramas and slow, drooling, just horrible, horrific, just slow movies. I can watch them and enjoy them as long as it's good, you know. But when you watch like Lincoln, you're like, why am I keep watching it? No. You know what movie's really terrible and long and boring? Michael Bay's Transformers 4, Age of Extinction.
That movie is like, it's boring and it's confusing, and you're like, why?
I would fall asleep for 20 minutes, wake up, and I'm thinking I was watching a different movie. Like, I didn't know what the hell was going on.
The only time I've ever watched it was in the theater because Sarah and I decided to go see it in the theater for some reason.
Horrible. It must have been awful watching it.
I was not the only time I was ever upset at a Transformers movie though is when we were in the theater. It was me, you, and our brother Ryan.
Ryan's friends were up front thinking, oh my god, this is amazing.
No, but like the whole thing when I realized like I was like Optimus Prime and everybody literally just let Chicago get destroyed to prove a point. To prove a point. Like, no, you need our help. Don't try to send us away.
The sad thing is the guy had to die to make that movie.
Yeah.
That's really fucking
sad. But I'll say this, the stunts and stuff in those movies are still solid. So, like, because there's a mix of practical and there's a mix of, like, CGI, I think it does it well. So the fact that he died as a stuntman, or is he died? He died because of a stunt, and, like, the stunts are incredible.
It was not Cannonball, the wrecking ball came and, like, smushed him.
No, I thought... Yeah. Like, they did a car flip thing, and, like, the pipe that's underneath the car that, like, shoots the car up, like, I thought it impaled him or something.
Oh, I thought, from what I was told, he got hit maybe.
And I thought it was, and I thought it was a woman. It wasn't a guy. I think it was a woman.
I remember reading about a man died, or I remember reading about a man getting hit with a wrecking ball when they were blowing up the side of a building, and they kept the shot.
Hey, man, you want to make an omelet?
I mean, you gotta crack some eggs, you know. Hey, you know, Michael Bay is a piece of shit human being. I wouldn't just put it past him, so.
I don't know. Is he a piece of shit human being? I think he's just like a douchebag. I don't know if he's a piece of shit.
I think he's a piece of shit. I've never liked anything he's ever said. I pretty much like never anything he's ever made.
You like The Rock?
The Rock is pretty terrible, but.
What?
Oh, how dare you! I watched The Rock probably a year ago.
Oh, dude, The Rock is so entertaining. Come on.
It's
stupid. No, it's stupid. It's totally stupid.
Like, didn't he also make Boy? What is the fucking Bad Boys with
Bad Boys and Bad Boys too
with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence? Okay, like those are like forgettable.
I can't watch Bad Boys.
Dad used to love them.
Bad. Those are bad as fuck.
Dad would also watch that terrible Lucy Liu movie and think it was awesome. The one where she's like a vampire hunter. I don't know.
Is it Rise?
I don't know. Dad has some pretty bad taste in movies, but because
he was all about the story and not like the actual execution of that story.
No, he's just like, oh my god, the moving pictures. You see the pictures? They're moving.
Those pictures don't matter. You just gotta listen to what they say.
Oh man.
So okay, well, you saw The Revenant? I saw The Revenant.
Yep.
What'd you think of The Revenant?
We
haven't really talked about it, so.
I'm gonna give it a 8 out of 10, 8.5
really?
Maybe. I really enjoyed it, and just because of how real. I mean, it felt real. I mean, the cinematography was great, fantastic cinematography. The ending, fantastic. No spoilers, but you know, it was just everything about that movie was step per step what I thought it should be. For me, it's a survival story.
No, it is a survival story. I think, like...
The guy's by himself for 90% of the movie. Like, what do you...
I actually found most shocking was, like, how irrelevant the fact that they actually were out in, like, the real wilderness actually mattered.
I'm not gonna lie. It probably didn't matter much.
No, I don't think it mattered at all.
But then again, we don't know that because we haven't seen the movie made without that.
Have you ever seen Homeward Bound? Yeah. There you go. Boom.
That was an actual documentary about those animals.
Have you ever seen Far From Home? Is that what it's called? It's like the Jack London. It's like a hatchet almost. Remember that? It's like a Disney movie where a kid survives on like cookies.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Far From Home. There are obviously some things about it. It can't be a perfect film. I mean,
You ever seen that movie with Anthony Hopkins and Alec Baldwin when they fight the bear?
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. That movie's awful.
It is not awful.
It's bad.
It's not great. It's not the greatest thing ever, but whatever, dude. No, I thought The Revenant was like it was okay. Like it would get like a 7 or 6.5.
You've been such a snob lately with movies, man. I don't know what you've been doing.
I've been really let down, man. This was an underwhelming holiday season for me. I thought The Hateful Eight was, like, kind of mediocre.
Hard. Just expect the worst, hope for the best when you go see a movie. And that's all you can do. And hopefully you'll enjoy it.
What do you do? You take it and you just shit. You shit all over it.
I mean, I knew going into it that it was going to be long. It was going to be...
No, I knew what I was getting into. And I was like... optimistic about it. I'm like, cool, I like Leonardo DiCaprio, I like Tom Hardy.
Not tell me that DiCaprio didn't give a good performance, or Tom Hardy, great. Like, I mean, Tom Hardy could win supporting actor.
You think so? Because, see, for me, this was the time Tom Hardy tipped the scale too hard into the goofy side.
Really? I didn't think it was goofy at all.
Dude, like, you know what? I watched an interview with Tom Hardy, and they were like, oh, you know, so, you know, Hugh Glass, real person, like, you know, DiCaprio talking about all the research he did. And they're like, so, like, you know, did you get really into it? Is that accent? Like, did you do a lot of research? He's like, no. He's like, I got off of Legend, and then I was on set there, like, a week later, so I didn't do anything. He's like, I just thought it sounded cool. And I was like, and then you watch the movie, and you're like, I can see that's what you thought.
I thought he did good. I enjoyed him as the villain.
He's like the garbled, marble mouth American accent.
Yeah, but no, there should
be a little bit. I'm out there, you're gonna give me that money for those pelts.
We're not going to talk about accents.
Are you happy now, Glass? Are you happy now? Weird, nondescript American accent that he has going on. I think it's supposed to be like Canadian and like American, like mixed together.
Yeah, no, I thought it was fun, man. I enjoyed it.
Actually, you know who was really great? Was I can't remember his name, but the kid,
the Native kid,
the guy that's with Tom Hardy, the Tom Hardy forces to leave, abandon.
Oh yeah, he did do good. I like to the strangest eyebrows in Hollywood. He needs to get that shit fixed. Holy, he's got like eyebrow dimples that are so deep. Mm. Awesome that shit.
All right, well, you know, where else are you gonna put your cereal?
it's pretty rough.
And you're on the go in the wilderness. Where else are you gonna put your cereal?
I mean, the Revenant dude. Hey, you know, I think should he win an Academy Award? I mean, just give the guy one. I don't really care anymore.
He tries so hard. Every movie, he's doing it.
He's done enough up to this point. Okay, he's done enough. Like, I don't want to see him get like a Lifetime Achievement Award. Like, that's gay. Like, you didn't even you had to work your whole life to get this shitty ass statue that now no one really cares because obviously you're not a real actor because you never got the award. You know, like. I mean, I like DiCaprio. I think he's like. Did you see at the Golden Globes when Lady Gaga when she won the award?
Yeah, it was a funny. It was kind of a funny face.
His
that he
ass off, and she and he, he's just like this.
I know. I've seen the GIF. Yeah.
You're like, oh wow, dude. That's DiCaprio, the one I know and love, the fun loving guy.
Yeah, just a fun loving
dude. Basketball Diaries.
No, I liked the movie just fine. I just did not. I don't know. Like, I thought all the... Whenever people get into, like, weird, like, hokey Native American, like, mysticism, that it doesn't really earn. It just is just, like...
They ran out of ideas.
This is pretty crazy, right?
They had to fill it with something.
This is pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
He sees a spirit.
I mean, obviously...
He's overcome with the spirit of the wilderness. Comes inside of him.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to say...
Like, it's almost like the Nightman.
All right, well, who should win in his place then? What, like Michael Keaton?
No. Spotlight's... That's also kind of an underwhelming movie. It was okay.
What movie?
Spotlight.
Didn't see that.
It's about the... you probably remember it from being a kid. All the stuff about the Catholic Church child molestation scandal from the early 2000s.
Yeah, like Deliver Us From Evil, the documentary, and about all that
well,
stuff.
Well, it's kind of like about the same topic, but it's what happened in Boston, Massachusetts.
I do remember. There was
it
some...
happened in 2000, back in 2002, like, the newspaper, a newspaper, oh, shit, I can't remember. I think I want to say the Boston Globe.
Boston Globe or something.
Maybe it was the Herald, but they have a thing called Spotlight, which is like the special investigatory part of their newspaper, and they did their story on the corruption in the Catholic Church and the child molestation stuff, and realizing how prolific it actually was. Like, they're everywhere. Like, we're talking huge amounts of them. Like, and that they're actually coming out of the seminary that way. Like, a lot of people are going into the seminary because they know they can go molest kids. Like, they're a protected group in the Catholic Church. So there's a lot of weird stuff in there, and it tells that story. And it tells it, like, well, like, it's good. Mm-hmm. It didn't blow me away, but I think a lot of that, too, is because I already knew that story very well.
Yeah, we grew up.
So you might really... It's got a lot of good performances. Mark Ruffalo, Michael Keaton, Liev Schreiber. Like, it's a good movie.
Well, I'll have to check it out, because I would... I mean, I don't know. Who's going to win the Academy Award this year, then? Like, who? Who should win it?
If it's not Leo... Then who?
Not Leo, then who? Yeah, like, seriously.
Tom Hardy from Mad Max. No.
I mean, you know, it would be probably the... Like, I heard Legend was good. I mean, I haven't seen it.
No, but... Legend is a entertaining movie.
Not very good, though.
Didn't blow my dick off. Michael Fassbender, he's got a good shot at it this year for Steve Jobs.
Ah,
That was okay.
You can't have two Steve Jobs movies within 3 years, man. Like, I can't do it.
Well, one's a terrible one with Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, but it's ruined.
And this other one's basically like a stage play.
Which I don't want to see. I'm sorry.
Kurt Russell should win. What am I talking about? Kurt Russell.
For what?
All the awards. For Hateful Eight.
Kurt Russell did do good, but he's also
just for when he like throws his mustache up and he says horse shit.
Yeah, horse shit. You know, like I don't. I mean, obviously, would he? He wouldn't be the star, though. Is he a supporting actor?
I guess he would be considered a supporting actor. Everybody's a supporting actor in that, I guess.
I mean, I wouldn't call him a star.
I would say, well, Samuel Jackson is the closest thing to being a lead because he's in the entire movie.
Yeah.
He's the only one that's in the entire movie. But anyways.
No, him and the other guy.
Walton Goggins, but Walton Goggins comes 20 minutes into the movie, though.
So does Samuel. He comes right after Samuel Jackson.
Like 20 minutes, 20. It's like, dude, it's like they're in the carriage talking for like 20 minutes.
Okay.
No, that movie takes a sweet ass time to do anything, dude.
Like, I get so. But it's good. I love it.
I enjoyed it.
I still think Quentin's never won a fucking Academy Award either. It's kind of bullshit. But
I don't think Hollywood likes Quentin Tarantino very much. I think they think he's an asshole.
He isn't.
He kind of comes off. Over the past few years, he's come off more like an asshole than he has.
When you watch the Golden Globes, did you see his speech? They cut it short. Did you see
that? They didn't cut it short.
Oh yes, they did.
No, they did it to everybody.
No,
like they started playing the music.
John, no, go back. It's a minute and 9 seconds. Everyone else got almost two.
I watched it live.
Yeah, well, you forgot because I watched it on YouTube. Minute nine. Everyone else had almost 2 minutes.
Once he started talking shit about composers.
Yeah.
And then not only was he talking shit, he was wrong.
Why?
Ennio Morricone has won, actually, I think, Golden Globes for his movie scores in America.
Well, I mean, you can't be right.
But Ennio Morricone, I was actually really happy he won because I thought the score in Hateful Eight is great. It's actually the same guy who did The Thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a great film. I just watched that recently, actually.
That movie's amazing. I watch that movie probably at least once or twice a year.
I probably watch it, yeah, at least once. Like, that, Jaws, like, I don't know why Jaws, like, hits off.
Oh, Jaws is amazing. It's one of my all-time favorites, too. Yeah,
such a great movie.
Actually, I gotta watch that soon. But, getting a little long in the tooth here. We gotta wrap it up, because I gotta go.
Yeah, I know.
So, you got any final thoughts? Any final thoughts about David Bowie or any of the other topics we've discussed?
Well, David Bowie, obviously, it's a great loss, but glad he was there to contribute for what he did and for the time he had. You know, rest in space, as my friend Tanner would say. Good quality movies, obviously, coming out. I think there's a lot, you know, they're in high def, so they look good. But you know, in all joking aside, sad day that we lost David Bowie. But I do, and I do think that all the fucking propaganda bullshit with movies that like the new movies they're making with like the Benghazi movie, like okay, whatever. Why don't we make a movie about fucking Hillary Clinton try to send an email for an hour and a half? Maybe it'll be better.
I think they actually did try to, and like Hillary Clinton got that movie shut down.
Probably did because she's like you know the new William Randolph Hearst.
A little bit.
You know,
she's something else, man. Like we should do, you know, next time we do one together, we should do one. We'll talk about all the political candidates, and we can
okay
get musty about it.
Y'all suck, so that's over.
That was a short episode.
Yeah, it was crazy. Episode 31 and 30 in the same episode. No, but should Leo win the Academy Award? Yeah, it's time. It's been time.
It's time they just gave it to him. Like, all right, dude. Like, he went out there and he fucking obviously it was really hard.
I mean, you go all the way back to Growing Pains. He should have won it then.
He should have. Yeah, of course. Emmys, Golden Globes. He should have been winning it all.
Basketball Diaries. Good God. I mean, seriously, that's a great performance. I mean, God, that really is a good performance.
I think if he's ever had a shot at winning it, it is this year because everybody is just they're all slobbering all over his dick. Because they're like, dude, it looked like you were really cold. And he's like, I was. And they're like, shit. Dude, you're an actor, man.
Yeah.
You're not used to that. You're used to spending time on some Italian beach somewhere.
I don't think anyone's as hard as a... What's that type of actor? A
method actor?
Method actor. Daniel Day-Lewis is obviously the number one.
He's a method actor. Imagine having that motherfucker over for dinner while he's making a movie. Be like... Now you have to refer to he's not Daniel, he's Lincoln.
Yeah. What? But he's like, but he's my dad. No, it's Lincoln. from now on. Yeah. And you are now, what was Lincoln's son name? Like Nathaniel? Like, now you're Nathaniel.
Backhand.
Maybe like Mary Todd or whatever, you know, or Mary Lincoln, whatever her name is.
Mary Todd.
Yeah. And Mary Todd, like, that'd be pretty fun. That'd actually be making really funny extras. If extras ever came back, that's the thing they
do should do. You want a Daniel Day-Lewis deep in character?
Yeah.
Something tells me Daniel Day-Lewis, while he seems like a very genteel, nice person, he probably doesn't seem like he has the best sense of humor. I don't know if he would have enough of a sense of humor about himself.
No, I don't think so at all. I think he's like, he is an artist. Like, he really believes
it. Yeah, capital A artist.
Like, he
cobbles shoes in his free time.
Yeah, you're like,
he's a weirdo.
You're a fucking loser, man. No, I love Daniel Day-Lewis.
Freak show.
Like, I mean, but seriously, you're like, I mean, the dude to get ready for a movie about a Native American. He lived like out in the woods for months and learned how to use it. Like, why? Yeah.
Well, dude, when he made the movie The Boxer, he boxed every day for a year before they started shooting.
Why?
Because he wants to be live apart. I appreciate that.
I do too. I appreciate the fuck out of it. He became an alcoholic for, you know,
Let me say this. They pay these people millions of dollars to pretend. Like, you know what? It should be a requirement for everybody.
Yeah, but if that's...
to work as hard as Daniel Day-Lewis does.
He doesn't even get fucking... He doesn't pretend. That's real. That's like... I think
He makes it real.
He goes into some sort of mental psychosis where he truly believes he is that person. Like, for a while.
He does. Yeah, you like Daniel Plainview?
Yeah. Yeah. Could you imagine dealing with that guy on a daily basis?
I hope that they shot that movie...
People
have a lot of lofty talk about method actors and stuff, but then you really got to think about it. It's like, well, they don't film every movie in order, so like they're aware that they're doing something. Like, so when people like are pretending to be method, they're pretending to be method. People said that Jim Carrey was being method when he made Man on the Moon about Andy Kaufman
because he wouldn't break character or whatever.
He wouldn't break character.
But you know, there is one actor out there who's probably the most pretentious piece of shit. I like him actually as an actor. He's okay, but he's annoying.
Who are you saying?
John Malkovich.
John Malkovich.
You ever just watch him and you're like, you fucking asshole.
You're like, this guy sucks, but I love him. I love watching him.
Being John Malkovich, like it's awesome.
John Malkovich is great, and actually pretty much anything with John. Remember what was it? Burn After Reading.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's so amazing in that.
Yeah, he's great. I watched that movie, the one
Line of Fire.
Where the dude fucking they crash in the plane, the Andes, all the rugby team.
Yeah, alive.
And he's talking in the beginning, and then at the end, I literally fast forward through it because I couldn't take.
He's in Alive.
He's only in it in the beginning and the end. He's like telling them the story.
Oh, he's telling the story. Okay, yeah.
Everyone's really annoying in that movie. I couldn't even stand it.
Yeah, the movie's of its time.
That movie doesn't hold up at all.
But Alive was like a movie, it's like almost like The Revenant, where everybody's like, that's fucking crazy. They filmed that shit on a mountain. Like,
yeah.
That's what garnered it a lot of attention.
Like, one of my favorite things to do is watch a movie and then, like, read up on it after.
Oh, me too, of course.
My favorite. Or even during it, if it's not that entertaining. But.
Well, now that we got the Skype thing set up, we can start doing this more regularly. We can talk about movies together. It'd be fun.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty easy setup. I know you got to get out of there, so.
Yeah. So my final thoughts, it's a bummer David Bowie's dead, obviously. I wish he didn't give himself cancer like that. That's pretty mean.
Icarus. Stupid Icarus.
But, you know, Lazarus, maybe that's the message to all of us. He's being reborn in inside of our hearts right now as we all spend time listening to his music catalog.
I'm not gonna lie, the Pandora station has been blowing up, I'm sure, all over.
That button, man. And I think propaganda movies are not necessarily – I think they're kind of bad just because I think people take that shit at face value too much. A lot of people do not have the intellectual capacity to separate the fact that, like, this is a dramatic telling of the story and this is not literal truth.
Yeah.
I think The Revenant's okay, and I think Lear will probably win – whether he deserves to or not. But like you said, this is not a very strong year, I guess, for lead performances.
Yeah.
The only other one that comes to mind is Michael Fassbender. And like Steve Jobs, like, I don't really like that movie, but he's pretty good in it.
I don't know. I think one of the criteria should be it's a good movie. That's just me. Just one of the criteria. Like, you could be a shitty, horrible movie, but if you're good acting it, you're going to win an Academy Award? Probably not.
No. I'd say some people win for kind of mediocre movies. I mean, Jennifer Lawrence won for Joy. Dude, Jennifer Lawrence won the Golden Globe for Joy. Like, if you watch that, when you get around to seeing that, like, you will be confused. You're like, why? You'll be fucking confused.
I don't know. You know, last movie I seen her in was Hustle and Flow. What the hell is that movie?
American Hustle.
Yeah.
Yes, dude, she won for that movie.
It was a whatever. I didn't really.
Yeah.
I mean, she was whatever. I thought the movie was okay. The movie, I'll give it like a 7 out of 10.
She wasn't blowing anybody's drawers off in that movie. Like, it's just like, it's whatever.
Piece of shit. That's what she played. Like, that's what she was in that movie. She did make me believe she was a sleazy piece of shit, if that's any consolation. So
even the movie that she won for, Silver Linings Playbook, is not a great movie.
It's okay. Like, I mean,
well, it's actually not bad up until like the last 20 minutes, and then you're like,
and the whole terrible dancing thing. You're like,
yeah, I literally almost retroactively ruins that movie. But we'll talk about that another time. Yes. I'm Sean. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for.
Yeah, I'm Dan. Just, you know, cut me off. Why don't you fucking prick?
Thanks for coming on and talking about stupid shit with me. And we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. You guys have a good night and be safe. Remember, Herbie Man, push, push. Spirit
Herbie Man, push, push. Got it.